This is Andy Gutierrez from StarWars.com, and you are listening to Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This is James Arnold Taylor, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi. I have a good feeling about this.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kenobi, show number 585. This is your weekly spoiler-free place for Star Wars community and conversation. I'm your host, Dan Zare, thrilled to be talking Star Wars with each and every one of you. On a special show to celebrate the completion of Season 1 of Andor and the release of Volume 3 of Andor on December 2nd, I have the composer of Andor, Nicholas Patel, joining me to talk about what it's like to work in the world of Star Wars, the power that is music and how it impacts what we see in the world of Star Wars, different character motifs, and working with Tony Gilroy and Diego Luna. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
I want to start this off by asking you about, do you remember how and when you first fell in love with music, and how did that eventually translate into composing?
Sure. You know, interestingly, when I was growing up, my dad was a lawyer, but my mom was when she was younger, she was a musical comedy actress, actually, and she did a lot of off-Broadway type stuff. And so growing up, you know, there were all these like old Broadway songbooks, and she would sing around the house. And then early on, I fell in love with movies and with film music. I was actually really into it right in the very beginning and asked my mom for piano lessons very early on. So it was kind of like it was just something I loved. I certainly didn't know that it was possible to do this for a living. You know, I actually grew up thinking that I was going to be a classical concert pianist. That was really my focus, was you know, the piano. And up until high school, I was very focused on that as sort of my path. And it was in college, actually, that I began scoring friends' films that they were making. And I was in a band. I was in a hip hop band as well. So I would play keys and synthesizers in the band. And things just sort of evolve. You know, life is a mysterious circuitous path, I guess I would say. But early on, you know, it was really a combo of film and music, and I loved that together. And I was just talking earlier today about how actually I think Return of the Jedi might have been the first movie my parents ever took me to when I was like 3 years old. So in some ways, there you go too. That's another another data point that, you know, you never know those mysterious childhood influences where they'll take you.
That's fantastic. So I'm guessing that it's something that not only did you love, but you sort of took. I tell my students all the time, because I'm a high school English teacher, and yeah. I tell them, look, some of your greatest strengths, sometimes you're going to have to work at them, but eventually it will pay off.
Absolutely. I mean, it's something where I think that certainly for me with music, I loved music and I pursued it. But I think the wonderful thing for me, the discovery, was that it's okay that you don't know where things are going to wind up. You know what I mean? I think that's the biggest lesson for me, which is that, like, you know, my whole childhood, I grew up thinking I was going to be a pianist. And I am a pianist. I play the piano on everything, but it's not my focus, actually, in a way. You know, my job is something else. And I think that's a wonderful thing to discover over time, that there are many, it's okay to not know where we're going to wind up with stuff. I certainly can't say that I always knew I was going to be a film composer. If you had said to me when I was a kid that you'll be a film composer, I think I would have thought that was awesome. But I certainly didn't know that that was even really possible, you know?
Right. I love it. So yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, my day job, I can talk about narrative and writing all day long. And I know that I like music.
Yeah.
But I don't know much about it. I couldn't tell you the intricacies of it. I do know that it tells a story. So I'm fascinated in knowing and excited to know, for you, how does your work on Andor help to tell this particular story?
Yeah, no, it's an important question, because I think it gets to the heart of the whole enterprise itself, which is, we're, you know, for me in particular, every project I do, I think it's so important to create a unique sound world. Every project demands its own sound identity. Because, you know, they're their own unique characters, own unique story. And so I try to start at zero in a way, you know, with a blank slate approach on every single project. And it's interesting, the idea of how do you tell the story through music with this, because in some ways, I think there's a lot of on-camera music in Andor, and I started with Tony on a lot of that on-camera music. But when it came to actually crafting very specific themes and musical ideas, I was thinking about Cassian. I was thinking about his story. And you know, I think a lot of it is imagining things and then thinking about how you feel about those things and then trying to capture and sound those feelings. So it's, you know, for me, Cassian is trying to figure out his past. He's trying to figure out himself. He's trying to figure out his present. There's a sense of questioning. He hasn't yet, when we meet him in the beginning, he hasn't found his destiny. He hasn't found what he's going to be doing. He doesn't know really, or if he does, he's not allowing himself to know certain things, you know? And so the music, I think the shape of the music, certainly in the beginning and certainly in the theme, the shape of the music itself has a sort of not knowing to it. So for example, if you look at the opening theme, some opening themes might start huge, like here I am, you know? This opening theme actually starts like it's like lurking. It's like this weird low pulse, and then another detuned synth pulse comes in, and then slowly some other instruments come in, and then they crescendo and they crescendo, and then they're gone, you know? And it's 35.2 seconds, and that's it. And so the thing with that shape is that it's not saying, here I am. It's actually saying, who am I? What am I? You know? And then it's saying, it's like, what about this? And then it's on to something else, you know? So I think in some ways the shapes of music matter a lot. You know, it's not just the notes themselves. It's like, I think about that at times in other projects I've worked on that, you know, if something is going upward, if something is going down, if something has a certain type of geometry almost to it, I think we intuitively, we interpret those shapes in certain ways, actually, subconsciously. I don't think it's a very abstract thing. So, you know, it's very difficult to really analyze that, I would say. But I think so much of this process is about following your feelings and trying ideas out. You know, I might write a piece of music for something and having, you know, obviously I've read scripts, I've seen edits of the footage, I'm watching episodes, but you try things out and I sit here with Tony Gilroy, our amazing showrunner, and we, you know, try things out. And if it feels right, it usually feels right. And when it doesn't feel right, it doesn't feel right. And you kind of have to be sensitive to that. A lot of this is being very honest with yourself. You know, if something feels good, you gotta, you know, go with it. And if it doesn't feel right, try something else, you know? So there's a lot of that kind of very lose your ego. It's not about, oh, let me just get things approved. That's not the goal here. The goal is to be very honest with yourself about what does this character need? What does this sequence need? What does this series need emotionally? And then asking, you know, the writer, showrunner, what do you think, actually? You know, so it's really this kind of wonderful conversation and collaboration that I get to have. And that's the wonderful kind of discovery process that certainly was the case on Andor, where it was a multi-year conversation that I got to have with Tony. He lives about 11 blocks from here, so he would ride his bike over. And, you know, we would, hours and hours every week, we would sit together and ask these exact questions, you know, episode to episode, starting from scratch. What do we do here? What do we do now? You know, and it literally took a few years to get all of it together, because it's about 7.5 hours of music that I wrote. So it was much more work than we even anticipated, you know.
Well, what a beautiful metacognitive answer. I really appreciate you sharing that reflectively with us. It's interesting because, you know, music and in film scores and epic shows like this have these wonderful leitmotifs.
Sure.
Obviously, Star Wars is noted for that. Talk about some of the ones that you have created for this series.
Sure. It's interesting too, because I think I often think about themes, and I think about themes though. Some people have themes identifying certain characters, you know. I often like thinking about themes as a very dynamic relationship kind of a thing. So I don't think I, there is stuff that occurs, I always say, like, it's like around Cassian, you know, but I think of it as that. It's kind of around Cassian. It's in relation to Cassian, you know? So there's definitely Cassian motifs for sure. There's an Andor kind of main theme that evolves in every single episode. There are 12 distinct opening titles for, you know, for each episode, which hope to, I think, capture a sense of the entirety, but also the moment to moment. What have we just experienced? What are we about to experience? Almost as a bridge, I guess, in a way, to where we're headed. And there are many other, you know, like you said, musical motifs. There's a theme that I've created, which occurs around Mon Mothma, but it also occurs around the idea of the rebellion, the sort of nascent rebellion. There's something around that. There's certainly a Luthen musical concept that we hear. There are quite a few, we call them, for Ferrix, the Farisian, the Farisian musical world. There's quite a few Ferrix related ideas. There's actually a lot of, you know, Ferrix is a very masonry and metallurgical kind of society. So there's a lot of, if you know, there's a lot of metal working in the score around Ferrix. Mm. You know, you'll hear clanging, and, you know, certainly there's the time grappler that you see, who has his own, you know, the unique times of day and moments of day are all very, have their own unique musical idents. And even in within each place, you know, there's an ISB, you know, motif. There's which is very distinct from the sort of imperial, you know, motifs from later, but it's its own sort of version of that. It's in some ways, I think we're going for a very terrifying, dark sound on some of these things. You know, there's a sense of tension. There's a sense of ominousness, I think, of really the gravity of what the Empire really means on a day-to-day basis for people. You know, the sort of, episode 7, you know, into 8, the sort of, it's very Kafkaesque, you know, this sort of like, you've just been arrested and you don't even know why, like, I'm going to jail? What? I didn't do anything, you know? And so there's that kind of, you know, and I think musically, I'm trying to sort of speak to some of those ideas in different places. And I guess the other part of the answer would just be that every episode has its own distinct elements too, musically. So there's certainly things that connect across. There's a Marva idea that connects across and is sort of ties things. There's a Kinari idea that ties Cassian to his past, you know? But there are also a lot of things that even moment to moment are unique for the episodes.
Well, just hearing you talk about this and seeing the excitement in your face is just really great for me, because your work is just masterful. You're setting such a powerful tone with this series that is so unlike anything we've seen. And that's not hyperbole. When it comes to Star Wars, it's just really, really unique. And I'm curious, as we're talking, did you respond? Did Cassian jump out at you? I mean, what a fortuitous occurrence that you're writing all this music for his series.
Yeah, I mean, the Cassian, and I mean, Diego is you know, he is a really, it was really a starting point for me in so many ways, you know, thinking about Cassian. And I think his search for understanding of his past and his present family. The idea, I think there's also something that I found very beautiful about the idea that I think everything in the series is very complex, and a lot of it is about finding family or different types of partnerships and wherever you are, in a sense, you know, whether it's on Canary or whether it's with his adoptive family in a way on Ferrix, or whether it's on Aldani, you know, you're with your mates on this expedition, or whether it's finding colleagues and comrades in Arcana 5, you know, it's always about Cassian's constantly sort of put into new situations where he has to connect with people constantly. And I think the challenge is that there's part of him which I think resists that too. And yet he's by fate constantly put into this type of a situation, you know? So there's something that I felt with that, this like, there's a part of him that is yearning, I think, for something. And there's also a part of him which is questioning. And then there is this part of him which is connecting actually to people. And so there are those, there are sort of like, you know, occasionally there are these motifs around like almost like team building, you know? but I think, you know, I thought about all those elements of Cassian as a character. And a lot of this, like I was saying before, is very subconscious. You know, it's, I don't write music by sort of, you know, figuring it out intellectually in a way. I think the important thing to do is to have the conversations and to think about all these ideas. But when the music actually comes, I think it's really important to sort of respond and create it on an emotional level and then to like weigh those ideas. You know, there's something, Quincy Jones talks about that, where he's said in the past that, you know, I think he said something to the extent of like, he doesn't think he writes music, the music comes through him, you know? And I think that's sort of a beautiful metaphor where it's sort of like you think about all these things and then you sort of, you let something out and then you analyze it, you know? And sometimes the things you create are right. And sometimes they're unexpected and you're like, why did I write that for this? You know, it's sort of like a, you know, it's like, it's like automatic writing or something. You're sort of like, where did that come from? You know? And then you try it out and sometimes those things are amazing and sometimes they're totally wrong. And then you just move on and use that as a piece of learning for the next piece of music, you know, as some sort of, you know, say it's a learning process, I guess. That's really the best way to say it. It's your every episode, every moment, you're trying things out and the show is telling you things and you're testing them. And if they work, they work. And if they don't, well, learn from that.
Right. Yeah, at some point you just let your creativity and your experiences and your passion take over. Well, Nicholas, it was wonderful to speak with you. I can't wait to hear more of your great work and I look forward to chatting with you again someday.
Thank you so much. Awesome to speak with you.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are with Dan Z, the podcast you're looking for. This is.
That is going to do it for this week's episode of Coffee with Kenobi. I want to thank Nicholas Patel for joining me to talk all about season one of Andor and composing that incredible music that really, of course, like with all things Star Wars, lives in our memories and in our mind's eyes as setting the mood and the tone and the atmosphere for this really, really atmospheric, groundbreaking Star Wars series. Now, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me each and every week on Coffee with Kenobi. Not only can you hear this show every Thursday, wherever your podcast catchers are available, but you can also see me live on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time at Facebook Live at coffeewithkenobi.com/live, where we always do top fives and you can be a part of the conversation, whether you catch us live on Facebook or join us later on the YouTube channel or listen to the audio feed of the podcast. We are happy to have you as a part of the conversation. The official travel partner of Coffee with Kenobi is MEI and MouseFan Travel. Go to coffeewithkenobi.com/mousefantravel for a no cost, no obligation quote. They can help you plan your magical vacation to the Galactic Star Cruiser, Galaxy's Edge, the theme parks, the cruise lines, Star Wars Celebration next year in London, or anywhere you want to go on the planet. It doesn't even have to be Disney related. They'll just help you and make your life so much easier. I use them professionally and with my family vacations, and I can't recommend Becky and her team highly enough. And if you're interested in joining me on the Galactic Star Cruiser, please go to coffeewithkenobi.com/mousefantravel, as I mentioned a few moments ago, and let them know you want to go on the Coffee with Kenobi Galactic Star Cruiser Cruise, June 12th to the 14th. It's going to be so much fun. We've got several of you joining us already. Spaces are limited, so please join us. We would love to hang out with you on Batuu and everywhere the Galactic Star Cruiser will take us. The Facebook group is the CWK Cafe at coffeewithkenobi.com/community. Your place to go for Star Wars thoughts, comments, reviews, and opinions in a family-friendly, spoiler and drama-free place. The Coffee with Kenobi place to go to support me is the CWK Alliance. That is our Patreon page. We are, in fact, possible because of the members of the CWK Alliance. Thanks to all of you, the podcast, Facebook Live, event coverage, and so much more comes to life. Find out how you can join the show and help us out for as little as $1 a month by joining the CWK Alliance, and you'll receive access to CWK Prover, an exclusive weekly audio and video podcast not heard anywhere else. Members of the CWK Alliance All-Star level receive a video edition of CWK Pour Over and access to a private Facebook group as well. Plus, CWK Alliance Grandmaster joined me for a monthly live video call. To find out more, go to coffeewithkenobi.com/CWK Alliance. And best of all, 10% of your monthly contributions go directly to the St. Jude Children's Hospital. The website is coffeewithkenobi.com for Star Wars news, announcements, reviews, videos, and so much more. You can email me, danz@coffeewithkenobi.com, or connect with me on Twitter at Mr. Zer, M-R-Z-E-H-R. I'm also on Instagram at danzercwk and on LinkedIn. Coffee with Kenobi is all over social media, including Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and TikTok. You can give the show a like on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi or subscribe to Coffee with Kenobi's YouTube channel. Please take a couple of minutes to rate and review the show on iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or you can go to our Coffee with Kenobi t-shirt store at coffeewithkenobi.com/shop. If you're out there listening to the show thinking, boy, I really want to start a podcast, but I don't know how, well, I can help you. Go to danzmedia.com and I can help you get that process started. And if you already have a podcast that is in existence or a blog, let me know and I will help you expand your brand. I'm also available to come to your school, conference, business, or organization to talk about how to tap into your strengths and help you bring out your very best. Thanks again to Nicholas Patel for joining me, and be on the lookout for Volume 3 of Andor. The soundtrack is available digitally on December 2nd. Be sure to check that out and add it to your collection. Thanks again for joining me this week. I will see you next week with much more Coffee with Kenobi and Star Wars fun. Thanks again to all of you, and remember, this is a podcast you're looking for. See you next time.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.